Joining me now on the phone is Kent Redfield. He's professor emeritus of political science at the University of Illinois at Springfield. And tomorrow is a holiday of its own when everybody gets up and gets in line so that they can be have a chance to have their name as first on the ballot in the March primary. They'll all be in line outside the State Board of Elections in Springfield. And joining us from Springfield is Kent Redfield. Kent, thank you so much for getting up with me this morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So first things first is I think everybody looking for someone to file, and it's a week-long filing period. It ends the following Monday. But everybody's looking to see whether three-term state representative Jeannie Ives files for the Republican primary for governor and what kind of challenge she presents to Republican Governor Bruce Rauner.
Oh, I think that's the major, that will be the major event. You may get, surprise candidates filing for some of the constitutional officers on the Republican side. They're, still looking for opponents for some longtime Democratic incumbents the real action is whether we know we're going to have a very active Democratic primary on the gubernatorial side. And the question is whether Bruce Rauner is going to get a challenge and whether it's going to be a credible challenge.
What would make it a credible challenge for Jeannie Ives to take on Bruce Rauner?
She needs to get enough visibility, so that, her message gets out, and then she has to put together a message that makes her appealing to the Republican electorate in terms of the primary. And I think that's probably a combination of ideology in terms of being the true conservative and the true Trump supporter in the primary. And then positioning, saying that she is the person that, can carry the mantle and be competent, and that, the governor says nice things, but, he's really been a failure in terms of, taxes going up, the state's in debt. We've got, he's signing legislation that's pro-immigration, that's not pro-life, and so that's, she has to have a message and she has to have enough money. It's easier to imagine the message than in terms of the money, because the governor is sitting there with, at least $65 million in the bank and has been spending, over the last, things are kind of quiet now over the holidays, but he had a big advertising blitz going on, in the first part of the month.
Well, and for her candidacy, she seems to want to focus on the economic type issues, although certainly she represents the social conservative issues. She says her candidacy was motivated by the governor's signature on the legislation that expanded taxpayer-subsidized abortion. She has been against same-sex marriages, gay rights, those kinds of issues, but seems to want to focus more on economic issues. Is that a longer-term strategy, or is that the fact that everybody in that core Republican base knows where she stands on the social conservatism?
I think it's probably both. Obviously, if she were to get to a general election, and that is certainly a long shot, then she has to attract more than the Republican base, because in the presidential election in 2016, Hillary Clinton got 56% of the vote, and Donald Trump got 39% of the vote, about 5% other. And so, you have to, if you're going to win in Illinois, as Bruce Rauner did in 2014, you've got to attract moderate voters in the suburbs while holding on to a Republican base. But so there is a long term to that. But in terms of the Republican primary, about 50% of that is going to, the vote's going to come from downstate, and then about 30% in the collar counties, and maybe 20% from Cook County. And the collar and the Cook County votes, you know, maybe down from what they were four years ago, because there's a hot Democratic primary, and so you're going to get people that are not regular party voters maybe pulling Democratic ballots rather than Republican ballots compared to 4 years ago. So she's got to, you know, run in the electorate that's going to be there in March, but then whoever wins has to run in the electorate that's going to show up in November.
And we don't really know what that March Republican electorate necessarily is going to be. I mean, Bruce Rauner 4 years ago was kind of an unknown quantity, never ran for public office before in that Republican primary. Still had the financial resources, but kind of presented himself almost as a blank slate. And now we have the experience of his time in office. And is there an enthusiasm gap, perhaps, that might exist as he seeks re-election?
Well, that really has to be the concern. You know, he has to be concerned that you're going to have conservative voters enthusiastically voting against him in the primary, because they're upset with the fact that he has not been good on their issues in terms of the social issues. And then, in spite of the promises, you know, that I'm going to come in and fix things and turn things around and deal with the Democrats, you know, we now have a tax increase. The state has, you know, pick a number, $15 billion worth of unpaid bills, although they have that number has probably gone down. And, you know, and Mike Madigan is still Speaker of the House. And so, that's going to be the problem in the primary, is, that he hasn't delivered on some things. And in fact, he certainly, you know, the Ives's campaign would be a backlash against both not delivering on his issues and that he said he would deliver on, and then essentially hurting the conservatives in terms of their issues, where the kind of the promise was, you know, I don't have an agenda, I don't have a social agenda. The promise was that nothing was going to happen there anyway, but he could deliver in terms of turning the state around economically. And all he has at this point going to the voters is, trust me, this time I'll get it right. And that may not be the best message.
And again, for Ives, it's a matter of trying to become more than just a protest vote.
Yes, yes. And we see her, you know, there was an item last week in the last 10 days with a kind of a Make America Great Again Trump rally in Rockford. And Ives was there and presenting herself as, you know, a Trump supporter, that I voted for Trump, that, you know, he's good on immigration, he's good on judges. And so you're going to see, I think, her trying to appeal to Trump voters, and Trump, in terms of presidential election in downstate Illinois, he ran about, you know, he was about, ran at about 60% of the vote, and Clinton at about 35% of the vote, almost an exact turnaround of what the vote was statewide. And so she's certainly going to be looking for Trump voters downstate, and trying to make those linkages again, if she has, you know, the money to be able to get out there. She's going to get media attention because she's running against the governor, and part of the governor's base is upset with him, and that's a good story. But she has to have the money to put together an organization and get the message out there, and that remains to be seen.
We're speaking with Kent Redfield, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of Illinois at Springfield. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pierce from the Chicago Tribune, joined on the phone by Kent Redfield, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of Illinois at Springfield. We're talking about tomorrow being the first day of the week-long candidate petition filing period down at the State Board of Elections in Springfield, and kind of some of the things to look toward. Not only is it the start of that period for the state primary ballot, but also locally begins the filing period for local offices. And of course, one that we'll be looking at is here in Cook County for Cook County Board President. We've got a call from Ron. Ron, as always, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, good morning to you, Rick. And Professor, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about, the Cook County Board President's race. Will some of that rejection of County Board President, will some candidate, particularly I'm hearing that Diorrenti has been able to get a lot of signatures, so maybe you can just comment on it. Also, I'm hearing that there is a pack out there that will be back in some of these County Board races, but particularly where he's able to maybe take advantage of some of that rejection that was earlier from the tax repeal with Cook County Board President Craig Wickham. Thank you very much, Rick.
Thank you, Ron. Bob Fioretti says that he's going to file a challenge to Tony Preckwinkle, and given the furor over the soon-to-be-abolished sweetened beverage tax, I think that takes effect on December 1st, but given that, there's a great deal of belief that she's very politically vulnerable.
Oh, I think that in retrospect, the soda tax certainly was a mistake. It may not have been an economic mistake in terms of the county obviously needs revenue. And we're going through, there certainly have been some pretty serious budget cuts proposed, but that kind of tax is something that is very, very visible, and anything time that people kind of feel like they're getting it in the pocketbook, and that it really is the average person that's bearing the brunt, that certainly creates an opportunity. So I think that she's likely to get a challenger. Whether she, again, that it's a question of money and organization, and she certainly will start with those two advantages. But I think there's no question that she's in a much worse political position than she was 6 months ago.
And of course, there's talk of Todd Stroger running again, which, this is kind of interesting. You look at Todd Stroger, you look at former Governor Pat Quinn running for attorney general nomination. How should voters treat that?
Well, again, their name familiarity is there. But one, that also comes with a record. And so there were probably good reasons why, Todd Stroger is no longer the county board chairman. And similarly, there were good reasons why Pat Quinn is no longer governor. And so even though there might be some buyer's remorse in terms of Governor Rauner for some Democratic voters, there gets a point at which candidates kind of become perennial candidates, and you can't afford to lose too many races before people are really do want a fresh face. But there's no question that having name familiarity gets you over the hump. I mean, that's lots of people really have no idea who Jeannie Ives is at this point. We're talking about the governor's race, and so if you bring a name or a very fat wallet, you can overcome being unknown. But it's always that first hurdle. You've got to become visible before you can become viable.
Well, when I look at, for example, the Democratic statewide ticket, and, with the vast number of people running for attorney general, but also running for governor. And if the Democrats end up, you know, on March 21st with a ticket with Pat Quinn as the Democratic nominee for attorney general, doesn't that kind of change the whole dynamic of the entire statewide contest?
Well, it is going to, I think whoever is the Democratic nominee for governor, is going to want to be forward looking in terms of this is how, these are the sins of the Rauner administration and this is the new era. And, the governor will be sitting there, assuming that he wins the Republican nomination. If Pat Quinn is on the ballot, then, he'll be talking about the same old gang. Here, Pat Quinn's back and, Mac Madigan is still running the legislature, and one of his particularly if it's Pritzker, this is Madigan and the unions guy, and this is the same old crowd, and we need to go out and shake up Springfield and turn things around. And so it probably would help the governor's message to have Pat Quinn on the ballot if it turns out that way.
Yeah, because it would seem to me that he can just replay basically a campaign against Quinn from 4 years ago, inserting the new name of whoever the Democratic governor nominee is, but basically making the same arguments about, look at what happened the last time Quinn was governor.
Yeah, they're back, and they want to be completely in control, and we might even be talking about, we'll substitute Pat Quinn for Lisa Madigan, and the speaker's still would be running all of state government, and so that plays back into the theme. I guess the other thing that will be interesting in terms of Ives is there's a possibility of we haven't had a lot of dark money in Illinois, money that comes in where you really don't know where the sources are. We saw a little bit of that in a Democratic primary last time around, but there certainly is some talk about fundraising by Dan Prof with the Liberty Principles PAC and people associated with the Illinois Policy Institute, John Tillman, and then there's an Illinois Opportunity Project that's Prof and a guy named Blazer, and they're talking about $25-30 million worth of dark money, so they're certainly this would be like on the Republican side is kind of the Koch brothers kind of money. And so, whether that would show up, in terms of funding the Ives campaign, we don't know at this point, but there certainly is a possibility that there's some money out there. It probably is going to be focusing on legislative races rather than the governor's race, but there is a possibility of some sources of money that would allow her to compete.
All kinds of things that we'll be watching starting tomorrow as candidates begin to file their candidacy petitions for the March 20th primary. Kent Redfield, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of Illinois at Springfield. As always, Kent, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, certainly.